This is the Pacifica National Board Personnel Committee. It is 8:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is May 20th of 2024. And Susan Young, would you like to read the roll call, or shall I?
I'll go ahead.
Thank you.
Irene Adams.
President.
You're president? Okay, Teresa Allen.
Present.
Jim Dingman.
Here.
Jan Goodman.
Here.
Heather Gray. I did send her a note just now, and I may give her a call. Julie Hewitt will be late if she will attend. Minerva Sanders.
Present.
Susan Young. Present. E.D. Stephanie Wells has got a conflict tonight.
And I'll give a shot. I don't think I was called. I don't think I was called.
And Darlene, you know what? You're also not in the gall dang minutes. Okay.
Well, that explains why I wasn't able to do my reading. Okay.
Okay. And were you in the last meeting? Were you in the meeting April 15th?
Who can remember April 15th? Probably. I don't usually miss any meetings ever.
Okay, so that correction will be needed in the minutes. Okay, Darlene Pagano, thank you. Madam Chair, we've got more than quorum. You're muted.
I'm sorry, Darlene was listed in the minutes. So I'm going to read the agenda for tonight's meeting. Roman numeral 1 is convene. Number 2 is roll call. Number 3 is agenda. Number 4 is approved minutes. Number 5 is PNB Personnel Committee recommendations for LSB evaluations of GMs and PDs. That's a mouthful. 6 is ED evaluations of GMs and GM self-evaluations, which we'll probably postpone, but I will specifically ask Stephanie Wells for a report for our next meeting. Item number 7, which if you're looking at the agenda, it's mislabeled. It says 6. It should be Roman numeral 7. LSB IGM evaluation process. And I think Susan and I will kind of work on this together. A is schedule for KPFT review process in 2024, including meetings with IGM. B is criteria to consider. C is survey form and who fills it out. D is update NDAs and identify schedule for executive sessions. Item number 8 is other. Item number 9 is next meeting. And item number 10 is adjourn. Does anyone have any issues with anything on the agenda as I've just read it or as you might be looking at it?
I would like to have a time certain to leave. I have to leave before Pacific time.
Okay, which would be 10:30.
9:30. It'd be 10:30
Eastern. 10:30 Eastern. Well, let's put that down. Susan, can you put down 10:30 Eastern time certain to adjourn? I hope to adjourn before that.
I do too.
Susan, did you get that? You're muted, I think.
Yes. What I'm trying to do is to get through to Heather, and she needs the link.
Okay.
I'll send it to her.
Thank you. Right. Great. Okay. So time certain, what did you say? What time?
10:30 Eastern, and I hope we will end before then.
Got it.
Okay.
Susan, somebody's sending to Heather right now?
Janice. Yes.
Okay, yes. Great.
Okay. In addition to Jan asking about time certain, 10:30 Eastern, are there any other additions or changes to the agenda? Okay. Hearing none. Well, actually, there's one thing. We said in our minutes that we were going to,
set up the election for chair and secretary.
I think we are already, that's already been handled. Oh, you're right.
I think we got pro tems.
Ah, we're still pro tems. Okay. So, all right. So let's do that now. All right. Okay. So, so make, item number four, setting up the election procedure. Okay. So are there any other, can we reach an understand? Can we kind of agree that we don't want people kind of extensively speaking for longer than 90 seconds? Is there any objection to that?
I wholeheartedly agree.
Okay. Is there anyone that would like to try to keep track of that?
I sort of will.
Thank you, Susan. Okay. All right. So now let's talk about the election procedure for chair and secretary. Does anyone want to nominate someone for chair?
I would like to nominate Terry for chair.
I would like to nominate Teresa.
That's who I'm talking about. I'm sorry. Do I need to call you Teresa and not Terry?
Teresa.
Okay. Teresa. I'd like to nominate Teresa for chair.
Okay. Okay. And is that Minerva speaking?
It was Irene.
No, it's no, that other, that's it's that Irene. Other DC. That's the other DC accent. Irene.
When you're speaking. Irene. When you're speaking, it's not lighting up the way it should when somebody is speaking. And I'm not seeing any faces, so. Okay.
Madam Chair, I'd also like to note that Heather Gray has joined us. Can Heather be, can she say hello?
Are you muted, Heather? I think you're muted. Heather, you need to unmute. Oh, hi, Irene. Heather is still muted.
So I'll text her and suggest that she unmute and say hello.
Okay. So I will accept the nomination. Are there any other nominations for chair? Okay. So, if there are no other nominations, do we want to, accept this nominee as, by acclamation, or do we just want to generate a ballot?
May I suggest that, are we going to have a secretary? And if we are, you know, if there's going to be a ballot, we can have a ballot. If there's not going to be a ballot, we'll talk about it after the secretary.
Okay. Since we have no other nominations for chair, do we have any nominations for secretary?
I nominate Susan Young.
Okay. So, Jen, you nominate.
I will reluctantly accept the nomination.
Okay, Susan Young accepts. Are there any other nominations for secretary? Hearing none. Okay. So my question to the group is, do we want to accept these candidates by acclamation? Is there any objection to accepting these candidates by acclamation? Okay, so first I'm going to say,
I move, Jan Goodman moves that we accept Teresa Allen by acclamation and,
that's just, let's stop there.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any objection? Hearing none. Teresa Allen is chair is accepted by.
Wait a minute, Teresa. I got a question.
Yes.
Point of clarification. Okay, so we were having a subcommittee meeting a week or so ago. This mm-hmm. is a scenario, and mm-hmm. someone stated, "Well, without the chair and vice chair, we can't have a meeting."
I need to know the protocol. Do we need a vice chair or that's, this is my question. Do we need a vice chair just in case you hit the lottery and decide to take a long vacation on us or something like that? Do we need a vice chair or would the secretary be able to step in as that chair?
I don't know the answer to that question. Sorry.
I think that the group could appoint a chair for the meeting.
Chair pro tem for the meeting.
Especially since it's such a small group, it would not be such a time consuming thing.
Okay. So the next question. Okay. Thank you. I hope that answers your question. So the next item is, does anyone want to move that we accept, Susan Young as secretary by acclamation?
Jan Goodman so moves.
Okay.
And Irene Adams seconds that motion.
Okay. Is there any objection to accepting Susan Young as secretary by acclamation? Hearing none, Susan Young is accepted as permanent secretary by acclamation. Okay.
Madam permanent chair, Heather dropped out, dropped back in, hoping she would be able to unmute. Mm-hmm. She may not be able to unmute. And I realize that, you know, we're supposed to that they're supposed to say their names, but I would like to recognize that Heather has joined the committee meeting.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry, Heather. Does that have something to do with the fact that Julie is technically hosting this and she's not on the call?
I don't think so, because none of the rest of us are having that trouble.
Okay. All right. Well, we're glad to have you, Heather. And if you can put something in the chat, we'll try to remember to check the chat. Okay.
And maybe Heather can call in so that she has audio via, calling in.
Okay. Did we, Susan, did we accept the agenda as amended?
I'm not sure that we did. Is there any objection?
I move that we accept the amendment, the agenda as proposed.
Any objection? Okay, that's great. I love it when I can say pass without objection. All right, item number 5 now is approval of the minutes. I sent the minutes out the first time on the 17th of April. After I got them from Susan. And as you can see, I messed with them. so I like Roman numerals. and Susan doesn't, obviously. So are there any, additions or corrections to the minutes of April 15th?
Madam Chair, would you be kind to, I don't have them in front of me. Would you be kind to just confirm that Darlene is listed as attending?
Yes, she is. She's listed as attending.
Could somebody post? Oh.
Yes. Go ahead.
Oh, Jan Goodman. Could somebody post the agenda in the chat?
I don't know how to do that.
Copy and paste it.
On my tablet.
Maybe the secretary can do that. Can the secretary do that?
Yeah, Jan, if I send the agenda to you, can you do that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I hope.
Okay. All right. Okay. And this is the Gmail account with .kpfk?
Correct.
Okay. All right. I am sending it to you now. All right.
And you can see in the chat that Heather says, "Dear all, yes, I'm still not able to unmute. Never happened before." So at least she will be listening and she can communicate through the chat.
Maybe. Oh, yes.
Okay, I do want to call to everyone's attention before we move forward that when we went over our expanded purpose and timelines, we approved a motion by Susan Young to, quote, time the annual ED evaluation to coincide with the fiscal year with the, comma, with the evaluation to be performed in October, comma, and report to and vote by the PNB in November, with the understanding that flexibility will be needed to get full responses. And that passed without objection. And there was another, motion, and that was, this was by Jim Dingman, quote, critical factors to be taken into account in evaluations of the EDs and GMs and PDs should all include, colon, criteria about audience growth, effectiveness of programming, and revenue generation that results. So when we discuss, we're going to be looking at some of the processes and tonight of evaluating that various stations have used. And moving forward, we should make sure that we include this. That we take into account criteria about audience growth, effectiveness of programming, and revenue generation that results. Okay?
Jan Goodman?
Yes.
Is that for the evaluation of the GM or the PD?
I think all of them.
Okay.
The motion was all of them. Okay. So you can, Jan, you can see that in the minutes, which is on the agenda that we sent to you.
Okay.
After that agenda is the minutes. Okay. So we did approve the minutes without objection. And we're now on item number 6, set goals and timelines. And wait a minute. Nope. Well, I was wrong. We're now on item 5. PNB Personnel Committee recommendations for LSB evaluations of GMs and PDs. And I have sent out job descriptions of from Stephanie. And you haven't I just sent these out fairly recently, actually just before the meeting. My bad. Some of the things I didn't receive anything from WPFW. But Jim Dingman sent something to us very early on. And Jim, do you know what the subject line was when you sent that to us?
Oh, I sure as hell don't remember. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm stuff out. I have it, but I'd have to dig it out. I'll look at it on my computer.
If you can send it to me again, maybe we should, if everybody can look at that, we can maybe discuss one or two of these tonight. Okay, we see received an item from Susan Young about the evaluation of our IGM. We received several documents, 5 or 6 from Jan Goodman, and we also received something from Darlene. Darlene, did you see when I received it from you, I sent what you sent to everyone about a half an hour before the meeting. Did you receive that? Is there any recommendation with
Teresa? Yes. I saw all of them at once. There was no way to sort them all out. We were trying to set this up. So no, I didn't. I think I saw something when I sent them to you. I think I saw some kind of answer about, I'm going to send this out to everybody, but that's it.
Okay.
And we don't have a PD. So, there's sort of an alternate position, mm-hmm. and I'm going to try to, get that job description.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
So in light of the fact that each station is in a different place, and in light of the fact that there are many pages of mm-hmm. documents that have come to us in lumps relatively mm-hmm. recently, mm-hmm. what would help give me a preview of what we will be seeing mm-hmm. is a brief rundown from each station. And we have to be careful to not use names, mm-hmm. but how recent the evaluation process was, sort of the, you know, major aspects, the criteria focused on, was there a survey, all mm-hmm. that sort of stuff. I would like to hear that from each station so we have a little better understanding. And then also, where do we have a GM? Where do we have IGMs? Where do we have PDs? No PDs? You know, get a little kind of sense of what the landscape is station by station.
I have something to bring up. First thing, I think, is what is and by whom and from whom are these evaluations to happen? And I'll give you the example. I have heard several different stations, LSB members say, we have to evaluate the general manager. Now that didn't really ring any whistles for me until somebody else said, well, we could give you a copy of the review, and the only people who did the review were LSB members. That is not what the bylaws say. The bylaws say that the LSB is responsible for the general manager and the program director reviews. It does not say. And therefore, only the LSB will run that, do those reviews. That is so wrong.
Okay. Well, just let's hold that 1 minute, Susan.
Let's hold that thought. But let me just tell you, I think Darlene is wrong. We have argued about this before, and we're going to argue about it again. It's one of the most important subjects we can discuss in this committee.
Okay. Let's go to Irene and then Minerva.
Okay, so I sat on the evaluation committee for our PD and GM on their last evaluation last June, July, August.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an argument, Darlene, that we had because it specifically says in the bylaws that the LSB is responsible for these evaluations. It doesn't say who does them, and we need to get more specific on that. But I also feel that we need to get more specific on the evaluation period for each one and make that across the board, because there was an issue because the PD was out for several months, and I objected to the fact that they were only going to evaluate the PD for the period at which that she worked, and we weren't even sure when she started working again. So the period of evaluation needs to be more specific. Now we have an IGM, and we're going to need to go there and evaluate this person as well. And so we need to be specific about the evaluation. When the day they took the seat to this period, and be able to even be specific about the period of performance. I can't imagine an annual evaluation being short of a year. I can't. So that kind of didn't sit well with me. But however, whatever it is, the GM, we also need a tool based on the job description on which the GM and the PD are evaluated on, because our LSB that's just made up some stuff, and it was not fair. It did not, the GM's was not based on his or her specific duties, but the PD's wasn't either. It was some different stuff that somebody pulled out of the air. So we do need to make sure that in our evaluation criteria, we say that these are the things that they are evaluated on. This is the period of performance.
Okay.
If we're going to go across the board.
Sorry, I think you're about 90 seconds. I stopped keeping count. Sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay,
put your hand down.
Okay, yeah, put your hand down. Minerva, you're next.
Okay, and I would like to go back even further than what you just heard from Irene. Mm-hmm. I'm used to dealing with, and definitely old school, organizational charts. So we know who's where, what their roles and responsibilities are, and how these people line up. We don't have any of that. It just seems like everybody's putting together whatever it is they think should be done. And none of these are tied back to the bylaws or any other documentation. So, you know, when we start talking about evaluating people, are we to a point that we can't start from what I call square one, putting together some type document like this so that everyone, all the stations, all of the PDs, all of the GMs or the IGMs or the EDs or the different station boards understand who's dealing with whom? Because we don't have that, and everyone has their own opinion on how it should be.
Okay.
Thank you.
We went past 90 seconds. Apologies. Madam Chair, Otis has asked the question of whether we want to go into executive session. I think a lot of these conversations were skirting very close to the line because, we're talking basically around employees, recent and current.
Mm-hmm. Is there any objection at this point to going into executive session?
Yes, I object.
Okay, Jim Dingman objects.
I'd like to say why. I'm looking right now. I did find what I sent to you. And I think these kind of things should be openly discussed in general terms, not talking about the people involved individually. But I think that it's important for the listener members and the audience get a sense of how people are thinking about evaluating managers and PDs. And mm-hmm. I think that's an issue. I'm looking right now at what I did send you guys. I just sent it actually off to you, Teresa. So I think that these should be discussed openly. I can certainly avoid talking about personalities, that's for sure.
Okay, so what's the date on that, Jim, what you sent to me?
I just sent you just right now something. Mm-hmm. I sent you what... I asked Michael White for a memo about this, and he sent it to me. So I just sent it to you literally a few minutes ago.
Okay, so I haven't quite gotten it yet, but I'm looking for it. Okay, and when I receive it, I'll send it to the whole committee. So Jim says that he doesn't think that we need to go into executive session. Let's try for the next half hour to organize things in open session and at some point when we need to, if we need to get more specific, we will discuss whether we need to go into executive session. I hope that's okay with Otis. Go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, a couple things. One, I think one of the most important and helpful things we can do is to come up with a report card, if you will. I think it's what Jim had suggested that I think we all agreed to. Performance measures, that GMs, PDs, the ED, can address and can, report on progress over time. I think that's one of the most important things that we could do. And I think that it might be helpful if we asked the GMs and the PDs and the ED, to suggest what those might be. And I'd like to hear from Jim, who's given us a lot of thought, what he thinks it should be, these should be.
Jan Goodman.
All right, let's go with Jan and then Jim, if he chooses to address what Susan just suggested. Go, Jan.
I just am going back to this concept that the LSBs don't have any role in evaluating the general managers and the program directors. Did I hear that correctly? Did I hear something?
No.
Oh, okay.
You did not.
All right. Okay, good. Cause it's in the bylaws. All right. And I'm sorry, my connection was unstable and that's why I fell off, and that's why.
I can tell you what I did say.
Oh, what did you say?
That the LSB is responsible for running an evaluation. And so far as I could tell, every LSB interprets that to be they are the reviewers of the general manager and the program director, and people who work with and under those people are not. So the questions you would ask are very different if you're assuming that only the LSB is going to do this review of which they are no part, and meaning the administration of the radio station, or if the workers are going to do an evaluation of their boss, the general manager, and then also the program director. The very questions that you guys want to have let's sum this up and have that, you know, have what is the one document we're going to use? It's like, I'm parting ways with you right at the root there.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, I'd like to get to what Darlene said and set the question aside that we may follow back up with Jim. Darlene, my problem with this is that I do not believe that people who report to the GMs and PDs should be sharing their opinions with the LSBs. LSBs are not governance, and they're not management, okay? And I believe that the 360 evaluations need to not go to the LSBs. I will tell you that our LSB would leak that information in a second. And every time we have met, every time the evaluations have happened, in fact, they've gone straight onto emails. We can't guarantee anonymity, confidentiality, anything. So if we're getting reports from people who report to the GM and the PD, they're going to be out immediately.
Then there's no evaluation happening. There's no evaluation happening.
There's an evaluation by the LSB, and the ED needs to do the internal evaluation in which there are 360 evaluations of those who are in management positions. It right. should not be the LSBs.
Right. What I'm saying is you can read the bylaws to say that the LSB has to make sure that this happens. The LSB does not, as you're saying, the LSB, one, doesn't have to do any review at all, or they could divide up the review that there's a management review, and they can review how the general manager works with this committee called the LSB. So I'm quite open and loving to work out how it's done, but we have to get off this, to me, lazy reading of the bylaws where it just seems to be, oh, the LSB is supposed to evaluate the general manager. And to me, it just like, you know, it boggles my mind. The LSB doesn't work with the general manager, doesn't work under the general manager. How can the LSB evaluate the general manager except in the area of how well does the general manager keep the LSB informed of what's going on?
Jan Goodman for the STAC. And I'd like to hear whatever Jim Dingman has to say since he was on the STAC so much earlier, but put me on the STAC, please.
Jim, did you want to weigh in?
Yeah. Okay. First of all, we are in process of actually creating a management evaluation committee as I speak. I just voted on that just a few minutes ago. The areas of work that we considered in the past were financial management, personnel working environment, personnel staff and producer relations, community relations and outreach, programming oversight and development, general operations, physical plant, relations with the local station board, fundraising and development, internet, compliance with regulations, PNB relations, ED and other Pacifica Foundation officers and staff and work with other network stations. Overall evaluation of the general programmer and program director and strengths and weaknesses of the general manager and program director. Those are the criterion that were in the committee. They had a voting process that was on a scale of 1 to 5. And if they 5 is excellent, 4 is good, 3 is satisfactory, 2 needs improvement, 1 is unsatisfactory. It's my understanding that the entire staff was surveyed for this purpose, and I certainly would be in favor of that. The externally reaching out was that's a question, because I sort of had the same issue raised when we were dealing with the evaluation of the ED last year. But that's one criterion. I think the LSB, I think the producers absolutely have to be involved in this.
90 seconds.
Let me finish my comment. And of course, you have to keep in mind the subjectivity of that. The problem we have is that we don't get Nielsen ratings now. So I used to, many years ago, when we had evaluations of GM.
Pardon? We're way past 90 seconds. I would suggest if there's anybody else on the stack, they'd be able to rotate in and come back to Jim.
Jim, I want you to know I did not receive the email that you sent to me. Could you send it again? And this time maybe CC Susan Young, because I didn't receive it.
All right. I should also note this issue of 90 seconds in committee we waived in the past so we could have colloquy. But go on. If you want to do it like this right now, I'm fine. But
well, I thought that your list was very, very good. Have you sent that to us, the list of things that you
sent it a month ago? To be honest with you, I sent this a month ago, but anyway, I resent it just a few minutes ago. I'll resend it again.
No, you sent it. You've got it.
So go on, person. I'll go back on the stack. I have to say this is a little ridiculous if I'm finishing a comment, but that's okay.
You're
going to a second comment, which was about the Nielsen's.
Well, that's related to talking about how you evaluate a program's or a PD. Absolutely.
Let me see if the topic I think that we're talking about is what does it mean when you say an LSB is responsible to evaluate the general manager? What does that mean that they do? I think Susan's saying that the management does the 360. Susan, in your mind, what does that leave left for the LSB to do? Are they part of the 360 and that's it? What does the LSB do?
Okay, and then I'd like to get back to Jim. What the LSB does is LSB does a bunch of the lists that Jim said. So what is the GM's relationship with the public? What is the GM's relationship with the LSB? Is the GM making budget? Does the GM have a good social media stuff? Is the GM maintaining the plant? There's a whole series of things that can be on our list without having to protect the communication by people who report to the GM about it's not leaking out. And I think that the chain up management is better able to manage the confidentiality that is essential for those communications.
Okay. So I would like to hear Jan's response and then Darlene's response to what you just said. Go ahead, Jan.
Yes. I think that the points that Susan made are good. At KPFK, what we do is we have a committee. We've had a committee that all sign non-disclosure agreements, and then people, and it's a small committee and people send their comments there. But I do have to take issue with Susan saying that LSBs are not governance. Under our present bylaw system, they are governance. They are committees.
I was wrong. I meant management, not governance.
Okay. Yes. They're not management, but they are governance. But they've been appointed to do this management function by our bylaws. For good, bad, or indifferent, that's the way it is. But I do think that there is something, very worthwhile if there are leaky LSBs, and certainly LSBs have been at all stations have been known to be very leaky in the past on certain things. So maybe that one area that of collecting information from staff should be delegated to the executive director so that we don't have that problem. At KPFK, we do essentially very similar things to what apparently they do at WBAI. And one of the things that I sent two of the survey programs, surveys to Susan and Teresa, and we can look at those, and we also have something that Jim didn't mention.
You're going to have to be more concise. You're over 90 seconds.
Okay.
So I'm not doing a good job of keeping tabs.
So the last thing, and may I suggest that, I joined Jim in suggesting that in this committee where we're really dealing with substantive things, that maybe we should at least have 2 minutes when we're talking about these things so that we can, try that and see if we can get more complete thoughts. But in the meanwhile, I do think that we have to have, besides the five, one through five, we should also have I don't know, and I don't, a zero for I don't know. This is like out of my expertise. I have no way of knowing how they run the state, how they run the station, or how they deal with the tower or any of that stuff. Thank you. And I move to change our time limit to 2 minutes.
What I'd like to do, though, I'd like to ask that I ask you more concise questions rather than broad questions, so you don't have to try to cover everything. And if we don't cover something that's important, then say, let's have a separate round of questions specific to that. And let's try to keep it to 90, and we'll see what happens. Darlene.
You're muted.
Two things. First, Jim, what committee were you just in that said they were going to do management evaluations?
I'm actually probably will be elected to the management evaluation committee. And
what management evaluation committee?
The one that exists for New York, for WBAI, the GM management committee.
Okay. Then, folks, the other thing I was going to say is how we did the anonymizing for the general, for the executive director is one person knew who was who. Otherwise, everybody was a number. You have to find the person who will lock that information away and never share it. But the every person who's assigned gets the assignment to review their form at the return level is numbered, and no name is ever used, only numbers, and that's why only one person can know what the names are, and it worked for us for the ED. Unless there's some nefarious thing that happened that was so nefarious it never came to anybody's attention. Hold on, what am I trying? Yeah. So there is definitely a way to anonymize things, but but there are also a couple of other ways to have the steps of returning things. Only have the LSB's returns go through the LSB, and all the admin returns go through the executive director. And then they're turned in to the personnel committee at that point. So okay. There are ways to make it theoretically very safe.
Let me see if I understand this. When we evaluated the ED, I think we had about 30 people that we sent these out to?
39.
Okay. And how many did we get back?
30.
And they all went through you and you made them anonymous and we got to see the responses. So you're proposing that we could, let's say we had, we have 24 people on the LSB. So let's say there were 30 people that were evaluating our GM. We could send, we could have a person on the, LSB that's a professional or that's going to handle that. No. Okay. Well, just quit cringing, Susan. Okay. So 24 people is one group of people that gets the questions, and then the other 10 people those questions are sent out by the executive director. And those responses come back to the executive director. And I guess the executive director would also get the responses of the 360 from the LSB also, so she can see how well this person is working with the
All responses could go to the keeper of the keys on the personnel committee. The responsibility of the LSB is to get the questionnaires out and to hound dog everybody to get their answers in. But it doesn't have to go back to the LSB. It's sent to the keeper of the keys.
Okay. All right. So let's hear from Heather and then Jim. Heather?
Oh, well, thanks.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to mention that it occurred to me actually as far as this is the personnel committee, but I think there needs to be more of a coordinated effort, with the, personnel in Pacifica just generally, you know, and it has occurred to me also that there needs to be a coordinated effort in terms of programming and having national programming on various issues. So I know this is a personnel committee. It's not a programming committee meeting, but I think we need to have more of a collective entity. And I think it would be great if there was more of, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think there's enough collective discussion, with personnel throughout the Pacifica network. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I think we need to have more of that if that's possible. So sorry, Teresa, that's bringing up a whole other issue here. But anyway, I think we need to have more of that because Pacifica is remarkable in terms of its national and international perspective on things. So enough for me. That's enough for right now. Maybe we can get back to it at some point. Thank you.
So if you were to say what you just said in one sentence, what is your concern?
Having more of a collective relationship with the personnel and the managers and so forth in Pacifica. Between stations. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
Or among stations.
Okay.
Among stations. Yes, please.
Jim.
All right. Well, one thing we learned in the process of doing the evaluation of the PD was that California law requires that you have a certain percentage of staff. I think it was 20% or something like that. That's the most we can have on an evaluation process. And I think we had a problem because we had more than that. So we had to change the composition. So that's something to keep in mind. Secondly, the Nielsen ratings I bring up because frankly, you know, that's, we're radio station. And if
we lost you, Jim.
You can't hear me now?
Now you're back, but repeat your sentence. All right,
I'll repeat the question on the Nielsen readings. You know, that in the past, when the local advisory board system was set up under the previous PNB before the change, there were constantly Nielsen ratings coming into each station. And the fact that we don't have them is a real problem, because that is a quote, along with the streaming data, a way to see how the stations are actually performing in terms of audience. So I do, in fact, think that should be an evaluation. In fact, I was on a situation where we actually fired a general manager because the amounts of people that were coming in and supporting the station had precipitously fallen, extraordinarily so, in just one quarter. And that person was discharged by the LSB. So, these are things I think have to be brought in. I don't find the leakiness as bad. I think that, I want the producers to give anonymous, evaluations. I think that's fair, because you don't want them to think that they're going to be retaliated against. But I do think that one can do that. And I don't think the ED has to get involved with this. This is, I think, really not a great kind of development. I mean, that's why we rebelled against the whole previous structure, because it was a very top-down structure. And we essentially said, in this new structure, which has its flaws, there's no one's going to deny that. But I think that it's very important to try to focus in on the audience development. That, to me, is so important. We don't do enough of that. And if we were doing that, if we would spend all the energy on that, we'd have a whole different kind of situation going on here in the foundation, not the one we're having to face right now.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else want to say anything? Well, we could take
Darlene
a vote.
Darlene has her hand up.
Darlene.
All right, go ahead, Darlene.
Jim, we keep hearing from Stephanie that there is another service which actually is owned by Nielsen's, and it's got three words, and the first word is broadcast, and I can never remember
RRC, the Radio Research Corporation. That's who we normally.
Okay, thank you. Nielsen. So we don't get it
data. Right now. We don't get that data at all right now.
Oh, right now. Okay, thanks.
We owe them $30,000.
Got it.
Okay. Well, I still have not received anything from Jim. I'm receiving receiving things under three different categories from Jim, and I'm looking for it. And I've asked you for the subject line, which you didn't give me.
Can you look in your trash? Just in case it went to spam?
Well, okay. Well, I would just prefer maybe if you try to send it to Susan and see if she gets it.
I'll send it again.
Send it to me, but let's not grapple with this in the middle of this meeting.
Okay, because I would love to send this out to everybody, but I can't find it. I can't find it. Okay. So, as I understand it.
Got some hands up.
Okay. Jim's hand is still up and Minerva's hand. Let's go with Minerva.
Okay. And I have to ask, as we're going through this agenda, which agenda item are we on? Are we on item number 6? Because we've been talking about GMs, PDs, EDs. Are we taking these one by one, or are we taking them as a group?
We are. We are on item number 5, PNB Personnel Committee Recommendations for LSB Evaluations of GMs and PDs. Okay. I'm wondering if we need to take a vote. Darlene, what I'd like to say is when we did the evaluation of the executive director, I trusted you as a professional, in HR. But we're talking about five different entities and I'm wondering, I'm trying to come up with some consistency so that
you have five different audiences. You don't have five different, it's not different. You have five entities that are the same. They are a Pacifica license who work on a pattern, that Pacifica has set up quite a while ago. You don't have to do all of your divisions, at the same time, but it isn't that, radio station X is different than, totally different than radio station, you know, three. So, I'm not sure where you were going with that, but
you're saying, I'm hearing what you're saying is you don't want the ED doing the evaluation of these five people, the GMs. You think somebody on the LSB needs to be doing part of that evaluation and the ED needs to be doing part of it. Am I correct or wrong?
I don't know what Pacifica has down as, the relationship between the ED and the GM, because the ED will, by virtue of overseeing all of the GMs, will be doing their own evaluation of the competency and proficiency of each GM. But I'm going to try to simplify it. When we did the ED evaluation, all of the answers, the LSB answers, the station answers came to the personnel committee and we prevented leakage. And there's no reason to not do it the same way, especially the station that believes that the evaluation of the GM will play into other purposes other than what Pacifica wants for the evaluation.
Okay.
I've had my hand up for a long time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we have a number of people who are on our board over and over and over again who believe that that there should be an open door for people from the staff to come and bring their grievances to the local station board. And they also believe that all information should be made public. And they speak out in local station board meetings, and we cannot guarantee that there will be someone who's professional who's holding on to that information. We cannot guarantee that. And so I would like that staff review happens, gets held, the anonymity of that review gets held with the executive director, who is under the requirements to observe labor law, okay, can be sued. We're a bunch of, sorry, shouldn't use the word. We do not have professionalism, we guaranteed, on our boards. And in fact, you virtually can guarantee that there are people who think it's their job to blab. And they may very well run the committee. That's what's happened in the past.
Okay.
It is federal and state law on workers and employees that trump the bylaws. The bylaws even say so. The bylaws say if any of our bylaws conflict with law, the law is the arbiter. So no, they don't get, no matter what their moral code is or what they think the bylaws say, cannot do it.
Understood. You can't shut them up. They have been told that over and over and over again. You cannot. One person yelled out in open session. He was fired. He was fired. He was fired. Okay? We can't control it. And those people are on our board, have been for 20 years.
Okay, I'm going to ask Heather for her comments and then Jim. Heather?
Yeah, sorry. I guess I'm shifting gears here. There's just a lot going on, but I just wanted to know, I brought this up just a few minutes ago, but are the general managers of the various stations ever meeting each other? Are they ever discussing with each other? Oh, they are, Susan?
Yes.
Well, how do they do that, or how frequently are they doing that?
I'm not sure how frequently, but Stephanie assembles GM meetings on a regular basis.
Oh yeah, no, that's good. That makes sense. Thank you for sharing that. Great. Thank you. Yep. Thank you, Teresa.
What Jim? Thank you, Heather. Jim, did you want to say something?
Yeah. All right. All of us in New York and throughout the system are well aware of these labor laws and the need for confidentiality when it comes to issues of personnel. We know that as we've seen ridiculous lawsuits as a result of it with lots of money lost. So I think anybody in New York is not conscious of that. Another issue that you have to deal with in the PD evaluation form, because the only thing I got was the PD evaluation form from Stephanie, is I doubt very much that PDs, in general, have had the time or effort or ability or whatever to evaluate each show and consistently do that. Imagine you have to evaluate literally dozens of shows all the time, and I've had fights about this. So that's a problem right there in the evaluation process of the PD. How does somebody have a sensible evaluation process that's ongoing, that allows the program director to evaluate the shows? Because ultimately, if a program director is evaluated by the LSB, people are going to say, okay, what's the performance? What have you actually produced in terms of outcome? And again, the PNB and the members of LSBs have for many years not been educated in terms of the metrics of broadcasting. So hence, we have some real serious problems. And I don't have to, you know, emphasize it with everybody here. We've seen a couple of stations essentially get out of control in terms of their inability to raise audience. And that is something that should never have been allowed to get out of control. So that's where the governance function comes into handy, because I think that people should stay on top of this and say, okay, what can we do to change this? Now, the final problem is capacity building. There is a lack of capacity building in Pacifica compared to what I experienced on the old board 20 to 30 years ago, 30 years ago, because the old board actually would take people and send them throughout the United States and train staff. And there also was more staff involved in management. Maybe Berkeley has that still, but there used to be two or three different kinds of department heads working underneath a PD. So remember, we don't have that luxury anymore, I don't think, in any of the stations. Maybe Berkeley does. You know, Darlene can talk about how they're organized. But that's another problem. We don't have that staff to help the PD. So hence, the burden is on one or two people, including the GM and the PD. And the interim general manager at times has to become the PD. And so that's it's a tough process. And I was thinking about how hard it is to evaluate some of the things that go on, when there's so much friction going on at these stations. And yeah, I understand what you're saying, Susan, about the people screaming about that, but that's the kind of stuff that gets us into ridiculous lawsuits, and people should understand.
And they don't care.
Well,
they don't care.
Well, so, I know here, I know New York.
Who's yelling out of turn?
I know sure. here in New York, I know here in New York, people have a great cognizance about that and don't want to have that happen.
Some people don't want it to happen and some people do. The problem is that the people that don't want that to happen, they can't control it when somebody goes off and flaps their mouth and tells all their friends everything that they heard in confidentiality. How do you control that? So Darlene, at your station, who did you pick to conduct this evaluation that wasn't handled by management? How did you pick that person? You're muted.
I don't understand the question.
I think Susan
Are
is arguing.
Are we talking about the ED evaluation that we did?
No, we're talking about the evaluation of the general manager. And I hear you saying.
There has not been an evaluation of any general manager since 2015 at KPFA.
Okay. So would you accept
that? What I was talking about is how any station would collect and where they would turn in all of the evaluation forms.
Could you imagine our executive director having a person, instead of doing everything herself, let's say she had an assistant and she said, I want you to send out these surveys to these 30 people to evaluate the general manager at KPFT?
No. I don't know where the ED got in on this.
So
I don't know.
Who's going to do it? You haven't done it since 2015. We
yes.
did it. But who's going to do that? Who's going to send out that information and get it and collate it?
Personnel committee. You have the LSBs at each station. When we have the forms, the LSB will send them out. Mm-hmm. They will work with the GM to develop, as we did with the ED, who actually reports to them and they work with.
Okay.
And so if it's got to be the LSB does this, I mean, they could be the source of the
okay.
sending out, but not the source for sending back.
Okay. I think that instead of continuing this discussion.
Not receiving. Sending,
pardon
not
me?
Receiving. Sending,
no,
not
receiving.
Receiving.
Yeah.
Okay. So the LSB comes up with a survey and clearly 24 people don't send it out. They designate one person to send it out.
Do they have a secretary? Do they have a chair?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It gets sent out.
Okay.
The other thing is the LSB is not going to develop the template of the evaluation. That's what we were supposed to start doing here tonight.
Okay.
What is an evaluation? What information are we trying to retrieve to
mm-hmm.
do, to give every station the ability to, evaluate their GM?
Okay.
If it comes to that.
So you're saying let's say we could designate that our secretary of our LSB send this survey out, the 360, send it out to LSB members and other people designated that we figured out that the GM deals with. Okay.
Or the director who serves on the personnel committee for that station can do it. There are a number of people that it is rational for them to do it because
okay.
the director of the station who sits on this personnel committee would be the one that will talk to or answer questions about the process to their LSB. But it's being done by the management. It's being done by the personnel committee.
Okay. I personally, when Jim started reading all of those items that he was going to evaluate his general manager on. That looked like sounded like a really good list. Still haven't seen it, and I'm looking forward to seeing that because it sounds really neat. And I'm thinking that we need to have a subcommittee that would deal with this, that would talk about this, because there's a limit to how much we can discuss this. And I'm wondering if maybe Susan, Darlene, and whoever would like to be on it. Anybody? Minerva and Irene, I haven't seen anything from you. When's the last time you did an evaluation of your GM or PD?
So as I said before, we had an evaluation for our GM and PM last June, July, and August. We seated an evaluation committee. Mm-hmm. And they proceeded to make up their own evaluation criteria. Mm-hmm. What I'm suggesting that we do here, and this is what I thought we were going to be doing, is mm-hmm. setting up evaluation criteria, grievance criteria, and what do you want to call it? When we have an opening for a PD or a GM, that type of vacancy announcement criteria that's consistent across the board, so that we don't have these LSB members who are stacked at times to promote a particular person. They don't have that tool. They don't have the right to make up their own rules. We have our across the board rules on what we're looking for in a GM, what we're looking for in the PD, how we're going to evaluate them, and a grievance procedure for programmers, volunteers, staff, whoever, that will be able to address, so that they can address things when they don't necessarily agree with the decision of that program director or GM that might be a little rogue. Seriously. And all those LSB members who sometimes they want to deal with personnel issues, or maybe not this time because it's not favorable to them. Those are the things that I'm looking for. I'm looking for some consistency across the board on those type of issues, so that we're not setting ourselves up for lawsuits. Because there's so much inconsistency across the board. So WPFW last year seated an evaluation committee specifically charged to evaluate the GM and the PD. And then they made up their own rules. And that was not cool.
Time. Teresa, you're muted. Teresa, you're muted.
Okay, we're going to end this meeting in about a half an hour. That's time certain. So I think that we need to, I just received Jim Dingman, his email has the subject line management. And I'm going to forward it to the whole committee. Thank you, Jim. It looks really good. I want people to look at that, and I want people to decide he says the prompts for area of work to consider were financial management, personnel-working environment, personnel-staff and producer relations, community relations and outreach, programming outreach and oversight, general operations physical plant, relations with the local station board, fundraising and development, internet, compliance with regulations, PNB relations, that includes coordinating with the PNB representatives, ED and other Pacifica Foundation officers and staff, work with other network stations, overall evaluation of the GM and program director. So I think that just like on the national level, we decided we want to evaluate the ED on these and on these criteria. I would like between now and the next meeting, everyone to look at these areas of work to consider and come up with the areas that they would like to evaluate the GM on. If you don't want to do that, another option is a subcommittee to work on that.
Subcommittee.
Let me say one other thing. We might decide that WBAI wants to have these objects to evaluate their general manager on, and KPFA wants different criteria. No, so Darlene does not. Okay, so let's hear what Darlene has to say.
There is from the executive director a job description, the Pacifica job description of the general manager.
Okay.
Stayed well within every regulatory boundary there was by being very clear that we did the executive director evaluation strictly mm-hmm. on the job description under which they were hired or which they are currently employed. Okay, you don't write different job descriptions. Okay,
What if our job description for our IGM right now is different than the one that you have for KPFA?
No. The question is it different from the Pacifica job description?
It may be.
Mm-hmm.
And privacy under employment law is you have an employee is held to the specifics of their job description in which to be evaluated.
I mean, this is what I would like to say. You have very strong ideas of what these criteria would be, and I feel you think they should be uniform. Would you head up a subcommittee to come up with those items?
You can open the email that you received from the executive director in which she shows the job descriptions for general manager and program director for Pacifica.
Okay. So let me, so stop. Okay. So I'm going to ask you that. I'm going to poll everyone right now. So, I'm going to ask each person, do you feel that you want your GM or IGM evaluated according to the criteria of the GM job description, which was sent out by the ED? Irene?
Okay, so let me say this, because we're now in the process of looking for we're looking for a GM, and I took the vacancy announcement that was as a template of the one posted on Pacifica and accepted by Pacifica. Please. And of course, I'm sorry. What'd you say, Minerva?
I said what was asked was a yes or no question.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't we stick to, and I'm serious. I know, Irene, I know what you want to say, but yes or no answers, and then we can go into other areas. You write it, you do whatever.
I can't answer that because
okay,
it's a pass.
Please pay attention to the chat. Please look at the chat.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to say yes. I think that we should try. I don't know if it would work. Try to take that one uniform job description and come up with items to evaluate the general manager from that. Jim, what do you think?
Well, that's a few years ago. And,
I would suggest that, you know, I'll probably have to dig up. People should read all this material because we have very good.
Does that mean no?
Well, I just think people should read it. I don't think people have read this stuff and internalized it yet. It's pretty clear to me that we're having a discussion based on the fact that
I'm just doing a, just an informal poll to see whether people think that we should have one uniform job description for the general managers and evaluate them on a uniform set of criteria. Yes or no?
Yes, with that. Part of me doesn't. I mostly agree with that, but I think that we have to get a little, I mainly agree with that, but I mainly agree with that, but I think we have to read the material.
Okay. That's fine. We can read the material between now and the next meeting. Jan, what do you think?
Yeah.
Okay. And Darlene?
A uniform, yes. Uniform, okay. Yes.
Heather? Heather? Can't hear Heather. Susan?
Yes.
Okay. Minerva?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
This is Heather. I'm saying yes as well. Sorry.
Yes. Okay.
And this is Irene. I'm mainly saying yes to, like, Jim.
Okay.
But they're insinuating circumstances.
So I'm just going to ask an informal question. Do you feel then that our ED needs to meet with those GMs and say, this is our template for your job description now. Do you have a problem with it? Because they're going to be doing self-evaluation. No, you don't think we should ask that question at this point?
I think it gets to the question of, we've got four IGMs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so they were brought in on an emergency basis. Okay. And so I don't know what they were told their job was. Mm-hmm. I think that getting to a job description that applies to all GMs and all PDs is great. Mm-hmm. When we have permanent GMs and permanent PDs.
Okay.
And I think also that those job descriptions give us the best understanding of what those jobs should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they sort of parallel a lot of the stuff that Jim brought up. So I think they give us a good guide, but I don't know what the terms were that applied to KPFA, KPFK, WPFW, and KPFT.
Okay. So
IGMs, without PDs.
So the only permanent GM we have right now is WBAI. So I guess, Jim, between now and the next meeting, I'd like you to look at that job description, and determine whether you think those are the criteria, because Darlene is saying job description, and that's what you did. You took the ED's job description, you took all of those things in the job description, and then you had all of those people evaluate. And some people said, well, I don't interact with the ED in this criteria.
And that's fine, because that's true.
But I think the prompts that I just read that Jim read, I don't know whether those fit that job description.
I think they do.
Well, they sure do. I mean, they're based on
the job. They do.
Yeah. Plus, look, you know, we all know that having this situation with interim GMs is essentially a reflection of the fiscal problems in the stations, at least in two of them, and certainly New York. And so my feeling all the time is, what can we do to help the GM? What can we do to help the process turn around rather than be in a naysaying position of, you know, nah, you don't do this, you don't do that. I mean, it's easy to do that. I can do that with every single station, but it's more difficult to figure out a way to have everybody collectively help to turn the situation around. That's sort of how I sort of see a process like this right now, because of the weakness of the three stations that we're concerned about in the main.
Okay. Well, I think that's what we're doing. So
Lisa, can I speak to the differentiation question?
Uh-huh.
That question is very good, and we could get all of the current job descriptions through Stephanie. because it may be that someone was brought in as an IGM and said, okay, you will come in if you don't have to do this part of the job description. So they have a little bit different because of elimination than others. Antonio at our station, general manager, but we don't have a PD. He has to fill in. So he has an addition to his, to the Pacifica job description. So that would be what we'd need to work with the ED about, which is what are the variations under which each general manager is working, and the variation though is of the Pacifica job description.
Well, okay. Let me bring in an element, Teresa.
We have 20.
You may have a stack. You have a stack, I think.
Right, okay.
All right. So go ahead, Minerva.
Minerva, you're on mute.
I'm unmuting now. I mean, okay. I've been trying to say something for a while. Go ahead. Were you going to say something? You
no,
were
Minerva,
speaking.
Say
Minerva and Irene.
Oh. Okay. I did start speaking. And, basically the, Darlene said it several minutes ago, which is in essence, we need a standard document. We start with what we have, what the bylaws say, but we understand that's from back several years ago. So there are some things that will need to change in it, but at least you can get buy-in from the different general managers that yes, this is something I can live with, I can work with, or maybe I can make some suggestions to enhance it. But when we start trying to redo a document and we don't have a clue what was in place before, then we're just compounding the confusion that, and that's where we are right now. We're thoroughly confused. What do we work from? So, you know, that's what I've been trying to say since I've had my hand up. We just need to get back to the basics and then work from there to make this be something that Pacifica can use going forward and everyone can live with and everyone understands what the expectations are. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Irene.
So to explain, I totally agree with Minerva. The problem is that each station claims to be unique in so many different ways or whatever. We're unique. So we need to add this to that vacancy announcement and this to that vacancy announcement. But I think it should be the same across the board. A GM is a GM is a GM. And that's how we need to address it. Yeah, it's nothing unique. We are all nonprofit and we all are specific to what we need to, we fundraising. Mm-hmm. And we need to stick with that and not be so, well, we're for jazz and justice. Okay. So it's the whole Pacifica for real, for real. Mm-hmm. We are supposed to be getting this information out. Am I correct? So why are we so unique? Yeah, I love WPFW because they're DC oriented. That's why they're unique. But for the sake of GM position descriptions and PD position descriptions, it should be the same across the board. And I get that. I agree with that.
Which station has PDs? Who has a PD right now?
WPFW.
WPFW.
Yeah, New York.
WBAI.
KPFK has an interim that is basically a foot soldier for the GM.
Mm-hmm.
For the interim GM.
So KPFK, KPFT.
KPFT does not.
What do you count? What is Marlo Blue then?
She's not a program director. She's a coordinator. She's not a program director. Oh,
coordinator. Okay. Okay.
And I think that's the same case with in KPFK. She's not a named
IPD, is she? Is your person?
Maybe not. Jan?
I'm sorry, would you repeat that? Say that again.
As I understand it, there's someone serving in an informal capacity, but it has not been named an IPD.
I don't know the formal or informal status of it.
I'm going to ask another question right now. We do agree that right now our ED should be asking the general managers to do a self-evaluation, correct? Okay. I think we agree on that.
Correct.
And I would imagine that each of these IPDs has been appointed by her.
IGMs and
IGMs.
IGMs.
You're mixing apples and oranges. One is a PD, one is a GM.
Back to GM. So there may have been some instances where she said, you're just an unpaid IGM. I don't expect you to do this. So if we're helping these people, we would not expect them to do a self-evaluation that includes those things. And we would
Teresa,
not.
Teresa, I really did talk about that just the last time you called on me.
Okay.
So we have a general manager description for Pacifica. And what I said is the general manager is going to have to be able to tell us or put out in the general manager will advise what people are filling in, IGMs, who were promised that they didn't have to do every single line in the job description and identify for us what the arrangement was for them. And if there is an IGM who not only is being the being the interim general manager, but is also carrying the workload for the program director, then we need to know that too, because there is a lot that the IGM would give as feedback on how that's going. Doing the self-evaluation.
So if I understand correctly that we're going to ask Stephanie, we're going to look at the job description and we're going to say to Stephanie, by the next meeting, can you tell us if the self-evaluations and the evaluations of the GMs should deviate from the job description because of special arrangements that we have because they are an interim capacity.
Right. Or they're volunteer. Or there isn't a PD. Or there isn't a business manager. Right. Yes.
You
the specific circumstances.
You use the job description strictly as that person as the contract under which that person is working. If the list that we have on the Pacifica, basic one or standard one has any changes, then those are noted and they do, and then you could still say, this is the job description specially for you. This is what your entire evaluation is going to be based on and your self-evaluation.
All right. May I jump in on this?
Yes, Jim, but First of all,
we know in Texas, the PD and the GM function are the same. In Los Angeles, they're the same. In terms of what's going on in PFW, as I understand it, there is a PD and there's an interim GM. And in the case of Berkeley, Darlene can correct me. I guess isn't there a PD?
No PD.
There's no PD. Okay, fine. So you're on autopilot. But in both,
the general manager has
the general manager is the PD. Yeah. All right. So
that's a situation
that's due to the fact that that's a fiscal constraint. And so there's something to keep in mind in all this. We're not talking about these stations in a vacuum here. We all are familiar with the situations financially of each of them, the weaknesses of each of them, the ones that have the weaknesses and the strengths, et cetera.
But we also have to keep in mind we're dealing with an environment in general of analog radio, which is declining. It's a, you know, I could, you know, we all are living in metro areas where we see NPR stations having serious problems financing themselves. They themselves are suffering the loss of listenership that analog radio has suffered in general since the pandemic. So there are all these other circumstances that have to be brought into the evaluation of GM, and the creative problem is how do these IGMs, how do we, with this situation, since we know that the fiscal constraints on some of these stations is still remaining, how do we use that kind of structure with a volunteer to turn the whole situation around? That to me is a difficult problem to solve and think about going forward. Very hard. And again, I'm racking my brains out about how we solve it. But again, you know, it gets back to, you know, whether people like what they're listening to or not. And we know that in some cases they do in the metro areas that we're operating in. But in some cases, we know it has failed. It's failing. Not working. Let me know.
You can do that. Propose possible solutions. You've come up with a problem. Could you, and you're giving it a lot of thought, would you propose between the now and the next meeting, and I'll put it on as a line item in our agenda on the agenda, if you have some ideas, proposals to resolve, and we'll say, okay, well, we want to try this to address the issue.
Well, I'll say one thing. That's the reason why I put the audience criterion in is I think of what's going on in Los Angeles. The fact that we have a person who was on the air when this individual was younger, who has decided to give the station in Los Angeles actually a pretty generous deal and offer if we can clear the building and get to escrow, is an example of how important it is to have every station manager, you know, view reaching out to the community beyond just simply reducing the station to the status of a digital operation and be a true community radio station. Because you wouldn't have that situation in Los Angeles happen unless this individual had come in as a young kid and gotten on the air. So it just says to me that, like, you know, we have to have a long-term vision of recovery also in how people are evaluated in terms of how they're relating to the people in their neighborhood or their community in general, and beyond just the rhetoric that people throw at about community radio. That's a concrete example of that actually helping us. And who would have predicted it 25 to 30 years ago when this individual started to perhaps hear?
I have stopped keeping time, but this is well past.
Yes, and we only have
a minute, and we're running out of time.
We only have 12 minutes. So
and we've got Heather on the stack.
So I want between now and our next meeting, I want everyone to read all of the materials. I want people to come up with, I'm gonna talk to Stephanie, see if she can tell me if there are any deviations from the standard job description for the IPDs and
IGMs.
I'm sorry, IGMs. Okay. So item number 6, we're not going to discuss right now. Item number 7 was the IGM evaluation process, and we listed 4 things. One, and I don't think you meant to put KPFT in that A. It says scheduled for review process 2024, including meetings with the IGM. We guess we need to come up with some sort of schedule, a timeline for how we will help the stations do this. So everybody give that, please, some thought between now and then.
Yeah, Teresa, I only changed the numbers. I didn't change anything. Are you looking in the chat?
No, I'm not looking in the chat.
It's in the chat the way it went down, and I moved stuff according to our,
Thank you, Irene.
Yeah, I moved stuff according to what we voted on. So that's how you should see it now in the chat.
Okay, so we're going to discuss our next meeting here. When I'm looking at KPFTX, Susan thinks we need to meet sooner because I didn't get the materials out quick enough for you to be reviewing it.
And we didn't get our stuff out quick enough for you to send it out. either. Apologies.
2 weeks from today is the 3rd. I have a meeting at 7, say, that's KPFT Management Selection Review Committee. Susan is at 7 Central. No, that's.
Yeah, 7 Central.
It's 6 Central.
Right. Sorry.
So could we have a could we have that meeting only last an hour and a half and go straight into this meeting? That is a question.
Yes, I think we could.
Okay.
I'm going to be traveling that day, but not have it because of me.
Okay. So shall we go with our next meeting? Can anybody take a, is there anything in the chat that we need to say?
I can't, I've been taking pictures of it, but I'm not able to save it.
Really?
Okay. Irene said the ED needs to make clear the parameter in which an IGM can perform. I mean, these people might have contracts that delineate these things. We need subs for physician descriptions, evaluations, and operation manual. okay. Irene and Minerva, I'm going to call you sometime tomorrow and talk to you if you're available, or maybe see what's tomorrow.
Tomorrow's Tuesday, and I'm good for you anytime, Teresa.
Okay.
Anytime. Okay.
Okay. So we're going to meet at 8:30 Eastern on the 3rd. Is there anything else, since we didn't really cover, we have a topic called other. Is there anything else that we did not cover tonight that we need to take an assignment? We need to have people work on between now and the next meeting in 2 weeks.
Yes.
Go ahead, Jim.
I want you to give me the megabuck lottery number fire tablet.
Jim. We all want that number.
And if I win, I want to build you guys. Anyway, so fire tablet, I'm going to dig up the other stuff that we did 2 years ago, because we've got tons of stuff that would be useful for people to see that I have somewhere in my computer, so I'll look for it. It has to do with the evaluations, so I'll dig that up.
A question. People on this committee, you are aware that there are several companies that figured out how to win the lottery.
It won't let you get past a certain point.
They are.
Fond du Lac, Wisconsin has sold the most winning Powerball tickets.
They bought one of every combination. And they did it because you can do online purchases, and so they made money on that. I think pot was up to $56 million, and they spent $35 million or something. So it was a net gain.
And I got that I got $35 million in my bank account, Teresa.
Right.
I will buy one ticket for each one of those.
I tell you guys out. And then I'd say, sayonara, I'm off to Europe. See you later.
Ooh. Well, I'm off to Europe right now, so I'm going to say goodbye.
Thank you, Bill. Heather, did you want to say something?
I just wanted to say, I'm hoping we can have more discussion about the various general managers talking with each other and what is the substance of that. I'd love to know more about that. Hopefully they are meeting frequently.
Well, I would think that our executive director, this is something that is a tool, putting these minds together to work, discuss common problems and things, collaborate.
Let's invite her to the next meeting and have her give us a briefing.
Did we hear from Stephanie about that, do you think?
Yes.
Wonderful to hear. Thank you, Susan. That'd be great.
Remember, Heather, it's people meeting with their direct supervisor.
Exactly.
All the general managers have Stephanie as their direct supervisor. So she meets with them all at the same time.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Can we hear more about that, though? I'd love to hear more about that, if possible.
Well, that
the time
should,
is 10:25 p.m. Does someone want to move that we adjourn?
No move.
Yeah, you did fire Kim, but didn't give me the right number.
Thanks, all everyone.
Okay, thank you all.
Thank you.
All right, good night, guys.
Appreciate your patience.
Good night.
Thank you.